plant. Honestly, I'm a little more interested in the sorts of drugs you took flying back.
Okay, so I took drugs.
I really couldn't tell based on what you were saying.
I took a thing called Ativan, which I think is like, I'm clearly might still have some of this.
That's what my dad used to say to our van when it did a good job.
Hey, Ativan! Hey, is that after it went out and got itself a nice heavy metal paint job?
Yeah, and then it won the baseball game.
Oh, man, that was so good.
My dad was actually prouder of that van than he ever was of me.
And that's because it's hard to say out of Griffin, you know?
I think that's only because you're a disappointment, though, Griffin, to be fair.
And also that I'm not a van. I cannot provide transportation for up to 6 people.
Griffin, did you also take Ativan recently?
Nah, I'm just pretty sleepy.
Okay.
Yeah, that's pretty much what it does to you. The only weird thing that it did was on the flight to Tokyo.
Raging boner?
3 hours. No, that would have been better. 3 hours passed in which I realized I had been working out how a dragon's mouth would work in real life.
Like how it would create fire.
Yeah.
Well, essentially there are glands in the throat that release a flammable liquid or gaseous.
Kind of.
And then that ignites based on the friction with the teeth.
False. So here's how it would work. And I'll tell you how this came together. So Skyfall was on the TV, and there was like...
Hey, everybody, this is Griffin. I'm editing the episode, and this is the part where Chris Plant literally talks for 6 minutes about dragon physiology, so I'm going to skip you ahead just a little bit.
And then being polite, he's closing his mouth, but when he does that, Flint on Flint causes a spark, out comes fire.
Ativan's a hell of a drug.
Justin McElroy, and I know the best game of the week.
My name is Griffin McElroy, and I know 2 best games.
My name is Chris Plant, and I lived Thursday twice.
My name is Russ Rushing, and I know the best game of the week.
Man, if that doesn't wake you up, if that doesn't get the blood pumping, the heart also pumping, you are dead.
The penis pumping?
Penis pumping.
Now I'm literally dead.
So how do we usually start the show, Justin?
I usually start the show by saying that we are the besties, 4 best friends that love to play the best in video gaming, whether that be on a real video game or sometimes phones, as you'll see this week. We review the latest and greatest in video game technology, and then we give it a score, we critique it, and then we say it's the best.
Hey, before those people run off, because I hear them, like I hear a few people scooting their boot because they know we're just going to talk about iPhone games this week. Let me assure them, I got a little surprise. I got a little surprise in my pocket that even you guys don't know about. And let me say it's not an iPhone game.
I love this.
I love the suspense. Is it? Can I guess? Can we take guesses? I'll take the first guess if we're taking guesses.
Go ahead.
Is it an R-Zone game?
No, but that was a good guess. Because it's an R-type game.
Speaking of R-type game, I would say that Ridiculous Fishing is almost certainly our type of game.
That's a good game.
Yeah, it's by Vam...
Flambeer? Flambeer. Flambeer, but with a Vlam at the beginning.
Like Vlam. Bill Lambeer.
Bill Flambeer. Combat basketball.
They made Super Crate Box.
Which was the best iPhone game that anyone had made.
Which used to be the best iPhone game, but now it's a new best iPhone game called Ridiculous Fishing.
Yep.
Now, you may be thinking, hey, I've heard of that. I've even played it. But no.
Actually, you haven't played it.
You haven't played it.
Because there's been no game called Ridiculous Fishing that's been released.
There was a game with Ridiculous Fishing that was Ridiculous Fishing, but it at the same time was not Ridiculous Fishing.
Yeah, it wasn't labeled as such. Do you want me to go over a quick history lesson for people?
Yeah, if you don't mind.
Sure.
This has been long in the making.
Okay, so in the year 1992, Johnny Vlambeer was born.
Okay.
No, do the real one.
Okay, the real one is essentially a game called Radical Fishing came out in, I think it was like 2009, maybe, around there, 2010, I forget. It was a Flash game with the premise of you're a fisherman and you are trying to fish as many fish as you can by sending the line down into the waters, getting as far as you can without touching a fish, and then once you touch a fish, the line comes back up, and you're trying to collect as many fish on the way back up. And then once you hit the water, you shoot all the fish out of the sky with weapons. So that game came out as a free Flash game, and people really, really enjoyed it. And then a year or so later...
Now who made that? Who made that?
That was made by Vlambeer. Bill Vlambeer.
Okay.
Combat Basketball. And so about a year later, another company came around and released an iPhone game called Ninja Fishing, which... basically ripped off every gameplay component of Radical Fishing, and they went and sold it, and it made a bunch of money. And the meanwhile, the guys that made Radical Fishing had been working on their own iPhone version of the game, Ridiculous Fishing, and they were so disheartened by the cloning that the game essentially got shelved for a while. But no. Now it's back, and it's been released, and it's excellent. So fuck the clone and get the OG.
Did you notice how the clone, the day before Ridiculous Fishing went up on the App Store, so I guess Wednesday, discounted their game?
Well, it had been free to play for ages, actually. So,
well, they were running some sort of promotion for. I didn't check it out because, you know, I support the indies and I'm a big.
Those fucking creeps.
I have lots of indie cred, but. I guess maybe on their in-app purchases they were doing some sort of...
No.
Wait, Ninja Fishing's free, fuck this game.
Yeah.
Seriously, why are you even talking about it?
Guys, free. Our commenters said they want more of that conflict from that OG Besties stuff.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
You know, I'm going to be brave. I'm going to come out in favor of Ridiculous Fishing on this one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, really? You're going to go with that one?
I'm going to go with that one.
So, Chris Plant, what is it you like about this game?
Here's what I like about it. That somebody came to me, right? And they said, hey, Chris Plant, you've got 12 hours on a plane.
Was this before or after you took Ativan?
When they came to me, it had to have been afterwards. Because I don't know how they would have found me.
Were they sparkly?
Did they have wings?
Was it a talking dog?
Of course they had wings, and they breathed fire. They're dragons.
Man.
So they came to me, right? And they were like, what if I could give you a game where you fish? And I was like, no, I don't want that. That sounds...
Try again, I got that stranger.
On the Dreamcast. I don't need it on anything else, friend. And they were like, okay, what if instead of a fishing line, it was a chainsaw? And I was like, you have my attention. And then they were like, okay. And after you chainsaw the fish... you shoot them into the sky. And I was like, with an Uzi? And they were like, with akimbo Uzis. And I was like, $2.99, that's the most I'll pay. And then we spit and shook on it.
Yeah, that's an accurate statement.
No, it's a hugely, like, I mean, it feels, I think what it has over Super Crate Box is that it feels even more sort of native to the platform. Like, this feels like an iPhone game that is taking advantage of everything the iPhone is good at and not wasting any time. Because that was the one, in my opinion, the one sort of hindrance with the totally great Super Crate Box that I was hugely addicted to was, at first, I didn't like it because I thought virtual controls always sucked. And, like, they may not be native, they made them work, but, like... they're still not great. I mean, it would still be better to play with a controller.
That game, it was just a very good game. Like, the design of that game was very, very good, and it really lent itself to the score-chasing nature of iOS games. Like, the design, not the controls. The controls weren't great, but the design of the game was perfectly suited for iOS. And it's hard to look back on that game with rose-tinted glasses, because as soon as I picked it up on the Vita, I was like, oh, fuck. Like, this is how that game is supposed to be played. It is so much better with some button-ass buttons on it. This is just, you know, it's just tilting and it's tapping. That's all you get. Tilting and tapping.
I'm impressed how much they make me like things I hate about the iPhone. like using virtual controls with Super Crate Box, or like using the gyroscopic tilt, which yeah. I could live my life never having to use, and still really enjoying it. I mean, that I don't understand any game that uses tilt, because they've clearly never had to play a video game on a subway or in a taxi, because it's impossible. Right. But it's still.
I mean,
great.
Some games do it really well. Tilt to Live, I felt like, had a pretty exceptional control scheme for a game that was literally just gyroscopic controls.
Well, and I think this one does too. Like it. I remember playing it
still.
Yeah, I remember playing it at GDC last year, and it had tilt controls then, but it's been refined so much to the point where, like, you feel like you have complete, like, you could sneak your fishing line in such narrow, tiny little holes that because the controls are so solid.
Like a shmup.
Like, almost like a shmup. But
it is a bullet. One third of the game is a bullet hell shooter.
Yep.
And, I think that's what's so great is that it is. It blends some pretty crazy genres, like the I don't know what you would call the shooting part of it, like I guess sort of an on-rails shooter, except it just goes straight up. And
what was that circus game where the clown had to like keep balancing the things?
Arrow the Acrobat.
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
So it's sort of like that, where once you throw the fish up in the air, you're trying to like shoot the bigger fish to send them farther up into the air, so you still have time to kill the smaller fish, and there's like strategy there. Yeah, there's a lot of tactics in this game.
There are tactics, but I think what will make this game sell really well, and I try not to get into these sort of predictions too often, but it's so enjoyable even if you're just totally playing it brain dead. Just like sending that little line down and then just collecting things and then tapping to make them explode. There's so little skill required to get the kind of action hook that the game offers, which is great.
Plus it's nice the whole thing is built around, maybe we should talk a bit more about mechanically sort of how this works. So we've talked about the basic gameplay, but basically when you catch bigger or harder to catch fish, you get paid more for those, and you use that to buy lots of upgrades. And for me, that's sort of like, I don't know, I love sort of thing.
You know, that's my shit.
I know that's your jam. And for me, it makes it so that, like, it's not as frustrating as it could be, because even if I don't have a particularly good, haul, at least I know, hey, well, I made some money regardless, so, you know, I'll get them next time.
And
so,
yeah, it's not the skill-based upgrade thing either. It feels to me like the rewards are placed so well that I could hand it to my mom, who does not play any iPhone games, and she would be around the same place in the game as I am, just because it really, like, all you are doing is tapping things.
Well, I don't know. Avoiding, to avoiding the monsters.
It's very minimal.
Avoiding the fish.
It's, I mean, it.
Well, in the later levels.
Yeah. I'm saying later on, sure. But I'm saying this as a compliment that I unlocked the ability to drill through fish and shoot them with an akimbo Uzi in towards the moon with very little skill required, I think, is a good thing.
You're saying you're bad at video games.
I'm saying I'm bad at video games.
If you can do it.
And if I can do it and it can give me that power high and I can know what it feels like to shoot a baby eel up into the heaven, then, you know.
Then a dog can do it, is what you're saying. If you can do it, a dog can do it.
And dogs, I don't know if you know this, number one purchasers in the App Store.
Sure.
That would explain
their
noses.
Also, can we address the fact that all the music was done by the guy who did Spelunky's soundtrack?
Spelunky soundtrack.
I hate the music. It's the worst part of the game.
I like
it.
It's so annoying. It's just grating. It's not sonically pleasurable to me. What
did Zach Gage do on it?
Design work.
He did the voice acting for the fisherman. I caught me another one. Shoot him up into the skies.
Yeah, they don't do that. So Greg Woolwind also did the art style, which I love. I think the art is like super clever, and I don't think I've ever seen any art style like this, where it uses essentially like very minimal polygons, like angular shapes, to sort of make up everything, like fish and sharks and the fishermen and the boat and stuff like that. I don't even know how to describe it. It's almost
it's vector art, isn't it?
No, it's almost like what's it called? Stained glass. It kind of looks like that, but it's very, very cool. And,
can we also talk about the fact that there is a Twitter for birds that you talk to birds on Twitter?
I don't know if they're birds that you're talking to.
There is at least one bird, but I thought they were all birds.
I don't know if they're birds. Yeah, there's a weird in-game. They've been doing this ARG to promote the game for, like, birder. It's very weird. I don't get it. But everything else in the game is very cool.
Sword and Sorcery.
Yeah. It's like an in-game Twitter that you can retweet from,
you know,
in your real life.
And they, like, talk about, like, when you buy an upgrade, they're like, oh, nice hat.
Right.
Which is weird.
One thing that I was kind of confused about, and I'm still not 100% clear, some fish, when you collect them, actually detract money.
Yeah, jellyfish.
Is it just jellyfish?
Just jellyfish.
Not piranhas.
Not piranhas. Like everything piranhas else gives you money.
Okay, just jellyfish you don't want to catch.
Right, and you can actually see what things are worth. There's like a book that keeps track of all the values of the fish and stuff.
Fishopedia. Duh.
Fishopedia.
I wish they made that more clear because it adds a lot more skill to the return trip.
There's a big glowing number that you keep seeing every time.
Well, no. I know that I realized that there were some things that were reducing the amount. I just wish it was more clear on the types of things you want to hit and avoid. Because it adds a lot more. You know, it's a lot more interesting making the return trip when you have certain things you're trying to avoid.
You know why they do that though? Jellyfish. Are notorious pickpocketers.
Yeah.
Oh right.
Well, they're also endangered, so there's a pretty steep fee.
You also have to pee on them.
$5 per jellyfish.
I don't think you pee on them, Chris.
That's how they die. That's their weakness. Friends. That's like
The one where Joey gets peed on.
Yeah, and they all peed on it.
Mm-hmm. The poison in your bloodstream won't be nullified until you find it. It's like when you get bit by a snake, you're supposed to kill the snake and bring it to the hospital so that they can see what kind of poison you got. Whenever you get stung by a jellyfish, you have to hunt down that jellyfish and pee on it to nullify
the poison. Not just it, on its whole family.
Yeah, well, no, I can't go. I can't go with you there. Sorry.
It's not very nice.
What should we have time about?
What is that all we want to say about it? Well, $2.99, like, get it.
Yeah, it's really, really, really good. My only note, I have two notes of minor complaints.
Hit me.
Minor complaint A, it's sort of a little bit lacking in competitiveness.
Are there
fine
leaderboards?
There are leaderboards. Pretty sure the only leaderboard is the maximum depth that you've reached in the final area. And I think that's the only one, which sort of makes sense because the other areas do have like a finite depth that you can get to, whereas the final depth just keeps going. But it's I don't know. I feel like there could have been a little more of that. The other thing is a little annoying that I don't think they do cloud saving. So essentially,
which sucks because it's like it is conceptually the perfect iPhone game to just like play on a train or on a bus, because your rounds can either take like a minute and a half or can go much longer if you do very well. But it feels better to play it on the iPad. And there are a lot of games like that I wish had cloud saving just so, you know, I could pick it up. The iPad is like my home, boo. It's like what I pick up when I'm at home. It would be nice if I could port it on the go.
I actually had a concern about it. Maybe you guys can, put this fear to rest. It seems like with Super Crate Box, some of the unlockables are so difficult and so tied to skill that, like, realistically, I'm never going to actually do them. But this seems like the kind of thing where I might be able to just finish it.
Well, yeah, so that's the other thing I want to mention, is that it essentially doesn't... The only thing that's skill-based is getting to the lowest point of the final area. Because everything else, you're just earning money every time. So it's not a question of, like, when you'll get everything. It's just a question of how long it'll take you. Or whether you'll get everything. So, yeah, it isn't really, I kind of do wish that there was more skill to it. There is some talk, and I don't know if this is like bullshit, like the Bigfoot in San Andreas, but there is some talk that there is a secret area tied to some of the game's items, and if you do certain things, you might be able to unlock like more content. So I haven't gotten to that yet, but there is a lot of like weird secret fish and stuff like that.
Will you let me know when you find it?
I'll try, yeah.
I think you might be talking out of your ass. Like, you do that all the time. Like, hey, did you find the secret gold level in Spelunky? Like, that doesn't exist. That's not real. You're just fucking with me. Yeah. I don't know why you lie so... Like, how am I supposed to trust anything you say when you lie about Spelunky secrets?
My doctor says it's a problem.
Yeah.
So, guys, Chris, you gotta have some sort of...
Yeah, he said he had a secret. A surprise.
Oh.
And he forgot it.
No, I got
it. Great show, everybody.
I got it. Guess what game I played in Japan?
Horse Racing Gallop 2012.
Okay, one, yes. I did
play
that.
That's racist.
The horse racing games there, they are huge.
They're out of control, yeah.
And they look like the Starship Enterprise. Like, you sit in a seat the size of the Starship Enterprise, like, captain seat. But then there are, like... 20 or 30 of these in a room facing a movie screen.
Holy shit.
Yeah. And then across from that, like, that's like one end, right? That's the Sega end. Across from that is a giant, like, it looked like Grandpa finally got all the money he needed to buy his ultimate horse racing set. And there is a, like,
how long has he been saving
this
for that?
This beautiful $1 million horse racing track model. And the horses actually race around it, little robot horses, and people gamble on the robot horses.
Sometimes when people talk, I close my eyes, and I just sort of try to make my brain paint a picture of what they're saying, Chris, and I have literally nothing from
like
all that stuff.
Okay. A robot horse? Okay, there's a...
Does it look like... Like Matchbox cars?
No, like, okay.
Like a track?
Okay, imagine...
Talk scale.
Okay, imagine, you know, like a train set?
Yes.
Yeah. Instead of a train set, imagine that as a horse racing stadium.
Okay.
So probably like, maybe like...
Is that the official terminology
for that?
Let's say
like 6 feet wide by maybe, I don't know, like 50 feet long by like 6 foot tall.
Are they on like... automatic electrified tracks, or are their legs actually propelling them?
No, it's like steel horses that just get pulled by a little steel bar across these tracks.
Okay, so it's
well, I'm gonna
it's like
ask
that rabbit.
I'm gonna ask what everybody's thinking. Where do they find jockeys small enough to ride them?
Mm-hmm.
Jockeys are pretty small.
Not that small though.
Yeah, the good ones are.
Guys, the important thing is
the greats are that small.
I played the game Flip the Table.
Oh, great.
And
what's that?
So the way Flip the Table works is you flip the table. There's mm-hmm. a table, and there's a screen in which there's a you on the screen, and he has a table. Yeah. So when you flip the table, he flips the table. And you get points for knocking stuff down in the virtual room. But you don't have to flip a table. You can also flip a wedding cake if you're an angry bride. You can flip, a bookshelf if you're, you know, a spurned professor. I did okay as the bride, but I brought it all home when I flipped the table inside of a baseball stadium. And man, I flipped it.
Where was the table?
So the table was at home plate, and I flipped it so hard.
Why is it?
I hit a home run with a shot glass on my table.
We're trying to play baseball here. Could you get the furniture out of the way, please?
Oh, no.
We're playing a game of baseball.
Is 2 weeks away. That's what I would tell them.
Well, let me ask you a question, Chris, about your table game. So there's a physical table attached to this arcade machine, right?
It's like half a table, right?
It's about like 3/4 of a table.
Is it tethered?
Yes. You can't steal the table. I tried.
Can you like lift it over your head?
No, you can only push it. You can only flip it towards the screen.
Okay.
Imagine like a pinball machine. You know how it has like the section coming out at you and then the screen in the back? That's kind of what it is. You grab the front of the table and sort of fold it almost.
Back. I see. Okay, I have a second question. Yeah. Second question. Can you play by sense of smell?
No, it's flip the table.
I bet fucking Tommy could probably handle flip the table. Because really, yeah. I think...
Not too impressive.
Not... like, even being deaf, dumb, and blind, I think you can still grab something and lift it heavily. Because you know how your other senses improve. If he's three senses down, his sense of strength is going to be...
Is it true that Tommy's strength actually came from the Who? Like, if they weren't playing, he wasn't able to do anything?
That's true.
That's so weird.
Griffin, I don't even know what you're talking about.
For me, the sense of strength.
The sense of strength?
Yeah, sense of strength. How's
so you have sight, you have smell, you have touch, you have sound, and then not a lot of people know this, you have a fifth sense, and that sense is like, you know how like when you look at like a couch, you're helping a friend move, and you look at a couch, and you go, oh, there's no fucking way we're going to be able to get that couch up that flight of stairs.
Does everybody have that, or is it just doctors who work too close to nuclear
A lot of people facilities? Have it. When you don't have it, so like Jean-Claude Van Damme, no sense of strength.
Really?
Which is good, which is why he sees a tank, and he's like, I'm going to pick that up. And people are like, don't fucking do that. And he's like, no, I got this. And he, guess what? He does got this. He almost always does.
So he does have a really good sense of strength then, because he knows exactly what he can pick up.
No, because like if he tries to pick up the moon, like he'll die because he's in space. If he tries to like pick up the ocean, he'll drown. You know what I mean? Sorry. Like,
there's nothing particularly impressive about the fact that he can lift almost anything.
Yeah, yeah. It's
this sense help. It doesn't seem like it helps you. It seems like it's the colon of senses.
colons are tremendously helpful.
Colons are actually pretty great.
I eat rocks all the time, and my colon has not done anything for
you
me.
Don't have any sense of eat, which is
yeah, you're missing that.
Another real thing.
Also, no sense of abs
that exists. Uh-huh. I got a sense of golf.
Segway.
Depth perception.
Segue.
I don't know. Yeah. Super Stickman Golf 2 also launched this week. Didn't I used to? I thought it was Wednesday when stuff came out.
Nope. Wednesday at 11 p.m. Right. So essentially it's Thursday. I have a story to tell about Super Stickman Golf 2.
Hit me.
Okay, so.
Don't make it bogus, though.
It's not. No, this is a legit story. So about 2 years ago, every year before E3, there's this event called E3 Judges Week, where essentially one representative from each publication goes out to Los Angeles and gets sort of carted around on a bus.
I was at this event, so if this is bogus, I'm gonna be able to call it.
Gets carted around on a bus and shown a bunch of different games. So essentially, it's like 25 games, folks, on a bus. And on the very first night that I was there, I mentioned in passing that everyone on the bus should start playing this game, Super Stickman Golf, and everyone promptly laughed at me. I was mocked repeatedly. It was horrible. But slowly but surely, I convinced people to start trying this game. And by the end of the week, it was no joke, the best game any of us had played all week. And we were playing like AAA console titles.
Now, I'm gonna fill out kind of a hole that's here.
Okay, I will deny your hole.
I was on board with the Stickman Golf. I did laugh, but not at this time. I was already on board when we got there. What I did was...
Who got you on board with it, though?
You did. Oh, you did, 100%.
Yep.
But what I did was I saw skepticism amongst the ranks. I targeted the big man in the prison yard, Garnett Lee. I got him to download it, and then I...
Killed him!
And then I dominated him in it. He, a viciously competitive human being... was crushed, and that attracted more people because there was blood in the water. And
I like how Russ's story of how great Super Stickman Golf is has actually turned into a Chris Plant story about how cool he is.
Yeah, it's a real dig me tale about Chris Plant. I beat people up, and that's why the game is popular. It has nothing to do with the game. Don't be fooled.
Let's get some perspective.
Suffice it to say. It's a game that looks, if you look at a screenshot of Super Stickman Golf, you will roll your eyes into eternity. Essentially, yeah. You'll be looking at the back of your spine. You'll be rolling your eyes so much because it looks like a lame kiddie golf game. The moment you play it, and I mean literally the first hole that you do, you will understand the greatness that is this game.
It's the biggest problem with the game, I think, is that it on the surface, it sounds like the worst sort of iOS garbage.
It sounds terrible.
Like, super, mm-hmm. No thanks. Stickman, don't, no thank you. Golf. Like, can I not please do that at all? But, man, a lot. It really captures the, I think, better than anything else. The feeling that, for me, that it captures is that feeling of playing, like, putt-putt. And,
yep.
And it's that feeling of, like, how did I miss? There's no way I missed that shot. There's no, and all the sort of, like, weird superstition that comes along with that, like the sort of, like, feeling like the entire universe is working against you somehow.
It's not just that. Like, it's there's been a movement, I feel like, the past couple of years, and it's been a slow boil, but of, like, indie developers refocusing on, like, the folk gaming roots of local multiplayer. And this was, I remember the first time I played local multiplayer Super Stickman Golf, which is a 4-player race to the finish. You don't go by whoever gets there with the fewest shots. It is a race to the finish that, like, I just fucking fell in love with the game. And to this day, when we were in New York City for PolyCon last year, it was like every time we had a free moment, we would pull our phones out and play it.
Yep. And there aren't a ton of...
Let's talk about Super Stickman Golf too, because there's a rub there.
Well, I think it's a bigger rub or a smaller rub than you think it is, but we should touch on it. So Super Stickman Golf 2 just came out today, but a few of us have been playing it. Actually, all of us have been playing it for the last couple of days because we got some early codes. And in addition to the, like, standard things you would expect from the single-player game, they added one feature in particular that I think makes it head and shoulders above Super Stickman Golf 1, which is asynchronous multiplayer, which essentially allows you, you know, what's that, Scrabulous style or Scrabble turn-based, whatever. It's like a turn-based golf game where you take a stroke or you finish a hole and then you watch your friend finish a hole. I get it. Stroke. And it's just like constantly, like, I have 10 games going right now and it's just super satisfying and,
well,
really
what I love
smart.
So much about it is you watch the other player's turn. So, like, I'll watch Rust just, like, take, because you have, it's the same rules as the original Super Stickman Golf. You have 7 power-ups you can use throughout the 9-hole course. And those power-ups are different things that you unlock. The first one is just a mulligan, so if you don't like your shot, you can take it over again. And then there's things like a sticky ball, where you can stick to walls, or an ice ball, where you can freeze water traps, and so on and so forth. So watching Russ just, like, have a full fucking panic attack breakdown on a hole and, like, have to take 5 mulligans.
It was essentially, have you seen Tin Cup?
Yeah, yes, it was right. It was the meltdown.
It was that scene
too.
In Tin Cup where he couldn't get over the water and he just kept trying and trying.
Yeah, he got it in 12. So
yeah, it was bad.
But at the same time, it's like, I watch you do this and I laugh and I get so fucking proud of you when you finally make it.
It finally sinks it.
Oh man, I like it a ton.
I actually, one of my very few problems, well, I don't have very few, but one of my problems with the multiplayer aspect of it and the implementation is I really don't like that. I really don't like the inclusion of mulligans in the, and I get that it was part of, like, when it was a race. But, like, it's hard when you're playing somebody to know that, like, okay, that's probably where I could have gotten a leg up on the person. And I know that I have that same advantage, but, like, it's hard. It doesn't seem fair to me, like, that they can try, that I'm watching them, like, choke, 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 and knowing that, like, oh, man, I should be, like, pulling ahead here because I sunk this in one. And, like, watching someone get 8 chances to do that, it feels unfair. I don't know if, like, from a game design perspective actually is, but it feels unfair.
I have a feeling that, first of all, I think that that issue is abated a little bit towards the later courses because you have to spin those power-ups. Like, unless you want to shoot on par or over, you have to spin those power-ups on the special things like the sticky ball and on the, you know, the water and sand swap. Like, you need to be very judicious with how you spin those. But you're right. I think that what that mode really could have used was sort of a Super Smash Brothers style, like, full rule customization of no power-ups whatsoever. Because, like, what's tricky is you still have to... Actually, I don't know, because the only games I played against Justin, which I haven't checked, and Russ, when you're playing against somebody who hasn't unlocked all the power-ups that you have, can you still use all the power-ups you have?
Yeah, you can. And so that's one thing that I do have an issue with, is that essentially, like, if I was playing with all the power-ups that I had already unlocked...
Yeah, you fucking destroy me.
I destroy you, because
Russ is
also
notorious for using them once he starts losing.
No, that's... I was playing legit, Griffin.
Griffin, maybe. I've seen sticky balls come out when...
Well, Griffin told me before we started...
Tell me about when you've seen sticky balls come out, please.
Hey, all I'm saying is he shows me the sticky balls the second I pull ahead.
So just to speak to Justin's point... I would agree with Griffin. I think there is... It's very much a currency thing. So essentially, if they spend all of their power balls on the same hole, the fact that they're not able to use them on later holes is a big deal, and you'll have a huge advantage.
Yeah.
So
that
eventually
match,
that'll
that
come back
Russ,
to pay off.
Where Russ had his panic attack and blew five of his mulligans right there, like, there was no coming back from that. Like, had him.
So, but the reason it's in there, and the reason I think they didn't... Although I would like to see in an update, like, a raw, like, no power-ups version of multiplayer, I think the reason they did it is because it essentially lets you, if you're down a considerable amount, if you use your power-ups very smartly, you have a chance to come back. Whereas I think if both sides didn't have any power-ups and you were down by, like, 3 strokes, you would feel like, oh, you know, there's not a whole lot I can do to really get an edge.
Let's talk about the power-ups, because I haven't... I saw this, but I didn't, like, investigate it.
Yeah.
And I need to know whether or not I need to be angry about it.
Okay.
In the single-player courses, when you use up all your power-ups, do you have the option to buy more?
So you can use the in-game currency of, quote-unquote, bucks. I think it's B-U-X. You can spend $5 to get another power ball. Which
sucks. I do not dig on that.
Okay, I appreciate the not digging on that, and I don't really dig on it either.
Because you get those bucks either by... There's 10 on each course that you can pick up. You get them for achievements, and you get them for multiplayer victories. But you only get, like, 2 for multiplayer victories. It's not like you're doling them out in big numbers.
I think that's to prevent people from abusing it.
Yeah, and of course you can also buy it. Like, you can buy it with in-app purchases.
Yeah, I've never actually used a purchased power, but, like, I've never spent the $5 to get that extra one. I would say that the difference between having 8 and having 9 power-ups is pretty negligible. I don't know if you can keep buying. I don't think you can, but I'm
maybe,
not 100% sure.
But it can, and, like, I am not saying this because I have, like, a fundamental problem with this. With this model, because this model is basically the only model for profitability for these games, and, like, I think there are organic and respectful ways to do that. But at the same time, they have also placed a higher emphasis on leaderboards for each course. Right. And, like, I use the scores that you and Killingsworth put up as, like, that's my par. Like, I have to finish this course 19 under, because that's what Russ did. And when I see that, and, like, knowing that you or the person coming after me had the option to juice, like, it kind of I don't know, it lessens my interest in continuing to play the game in that competitive manner.
Yeah, so there's that, which I agree with you. The other X factor is the addition of hats, which we haven't really gotten into. It's new for the sequel, and essentially, so you collect these bucks by, like, getting achievements and finding them around maps and stuff like that, and then you can then spend them in a sort of lottery, I don't know what, the capsule toy type thing, which essentially...
A gachapon?
A gachapon, thank you. Chris Plant, I'm sure, knows exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's actually, it might be gachapon. It's one of the two.
Okay, let's be very careful here. But you could essentially spend the money there, and it'll reward you with a hat. And these hats, apart from changing the look of your character, actually have passive abilities. So some of the hats are very basic. They'll, you know, change the size of your character, which actually makes no difference at all, but it'll just make you look bigger. But
it'll
make the later hats, the more...
It'll turn the water into blood. Like,
right.
some of them.
It's cute. Useless whatever. Stuff, yeah. But the later hats actually have gameplay implications. Like one of the later hats causes you to stick to every green. Like the second you land on a green, you're stuck on it, so you won't bounce off. It also prevents you from rolling in shots. But there are, like, there's one hat that's like all upside, which essentially it gives you two bonus power-ups for every time you play a round. And that's the sort of thing where it it took me a while to unlock that, but it does feel like a pretty serious advantage, so I don't use it when I play multiplayer. So that's the sort of area where I feel a little dodgy about, you know, competition, and I would like to see, like, a no power-ups, no hats.
Right. Again, mode. Like, it, those, the power-ups and the hats, they're not objectively bad things. It's, if we had to, like, if Russ and I stuck with it and unlocked everything in the game, like, the more hardcore players, I think, would formulate strategies around those things. Like, the sticky green hat, like, that's just a kind of strategy. You're not going to get the roll-in that you want, but it is easier to land on the
green. Yeah, it might make a given course much easier to finish.
But for everybody else, for the people who are just coming up the ranks, there's, like, a leveling system for other people who, like, haven't unlocked a bunch of shit yet. There really does need to be a just plain multiplayer mode where you can still... I like that the multiplayer mode, you still earn experience and currency. Like, I dig that. I do. I just... Yeah, there needs to be a vanilla.
The other big problem I have with the multiplayer, and I'm not sure what the smart fix for this might have been, but... you are effectively not playing each other. I mean, you're playing each other in as much as when you play single player and you compare, you know, the score you're trying to beat with the other person's. I mean, it with the Super Stickman Golf, when it's local, you are in direct competition because how fast that person finishes the hole impacts your score. But in this case, there's no real difference. I mean, it's multiplayer only in the strictest sense, because really you're just playing two concurrent single player matches.
Well, I wouldn't necessarily agree with that. First of all, we should mention that the race mode is still in it. So yeah, if you want to play race, also, you can still do that.
It's 4 players online, 8 players local, which, like,
yeah, so that's crazy.
Fucking,
I can't wait for us GDC or whatever is going to be a lot of fun. The other thing I would say is different from single player. I think you make a lot of choices based on how the other person is doing that you wouldn't ordinarily make. Like, for example, if you're down 2 strokes and the other person made an insane shot, you might go for the riskier path, even though you might not make it. And, like, that changes your strategy, strategies that you wouldn't take if you were playing single player.
Hmm. Yeah, I could see
so
that.
So fuck you, Justin. Chris playing.
Got you.
That's the best thing about the besties is we cannot have a... Someone cannot make an actual valid... It's so rare that we have a valid point to make that it's a ticker tape parade. When it actually
Chris Plant, I do want to hear Chris Plant's concerns, though, because he's been... He might be asleep, though. I don't know.
No, my concerns, they're dumb concerns. Sometimes I appreciate a game just being very simple, and this is insane because it's a sequel and they want to expand and they want to make it a better game. But what I liked about the original Super Stickman Golf is that I felt like, even without the fancy special balls, I could hop in a game with people who had never played it before, and everyone was close to on the same level, no matter what, like, environment we were playing in, even some of the more difficult levels. I felt like it was much more about precision and just aiming and powering your shot, and less about using the sticky wall in the right corner and knowing the map and knowing which ball to use when, and, like, weighing when not to use your ball tokens. And like I said, that's silly, because what they did is they made a more robust game, but sometimes from multiplayer experiences, I just prefer the latter.
Yeah, I think you want what we want, which is essentially a very vanilla multiplayer mode option if you want to do
that. I really do feel like that's the only thing that's missing, because in every other regard, like, it has
the
race mode.
But there just aren't even maps. You know, that's my problem. Is the stages themselves are just... Yeah.
They are kind of like... They're a lot more levely.
Yeah, and playing through it in single player was a lot less fun.
Oh, I don't know about that. I had fun playing it.
I think the courses have been pretty good so far.
And also, I mean, I've been able, like, you can beat those courses under par without using power-ups.
It seems like for a lot of them, there's no way you can get a hole-in-one, right? I mean, it's like literally
Yeah, but I mean, it was that way for the for the last game, too.
I like holes in one. I'm getting them. It makes me feel good.
So
it makes me feel like a special boy.
I'm writing an email right now to Noodle Cake Studios asking them to release a new game called Super Baby Golf, and it'll be just for Justin, and he can hit all the holes, will go right in one, and it's just a short little putt, and it'll have picture of Justin on the front, but it's his adult head on a baby's body.
Is the hole vacuum?
The hole's a vacuum. You don't even need to hit it. It's a video. It's a YouTube, and it's just a YouTube of a ball going in a hole that repeats while a lullaby plays.
This has been a cool day.
Happy birthday, Justin.
Best birthday I've ever had. I'm going to keep playing Ridiculous Fishing. Sorry, Ninja Fishing. Fuck Ridiculous Fishing.
Hey guys, what are we...
Is there a free version of Super Stick Golf 2 I can get?
What are we playing next week, yo?
So, I think probably next...
I know what we're playing next week.
Well, it's not the game that you're thinking of, because we can't talk about that yet. Gears? Unless you're thinking of... Oh, yeah. Well, Gears is one of them, right?
And that other game we'll save for later.
And then Justin, I know, is playing StarCraft II Heart of the Swarm.
Oh, God. Does that mean I have to listen to you talk about it?
No, I'm absolutely not doing that thing he said.
Is it?
I would play it if I had a computer to run it on.
I don't think I know anybody who's playing it.
I didn't finish the first one.
I finished the first one.
I've
never played
Nancy Kerrigan was in it.
I've never played any of them.
I like the story and I like the gameplay campaign. I just can't play multiplayer. So yeah, it probably won't be StarCraft because none of us can actually either play it or has a desire to play it. But Gears for sure. And do we have another game we could bring up?
I really think we should return to SimCity since people can actually fucking play it now.
I would love to talk about that.
Yeah, Chris had to miss out on all the fun. Oh.
I'm glad
I don't know what you're talking about. Was there controversy surrounding that game?
Chris, to what extent could you like keep up with what was going on? Like, it must have just seemed like the internet was melting back home.
I mean, the world went through changes, right? Like, yeah.
War has changed. That was the only thing.
I don't know. Honestly, man, I was just, like, watching a lot of anime. There's a new Evangelion. And, like, man, that opened my eyes, you know? Things are just so much better in Japan. They don't care about SimCity. They don't care about American games. That's what I learned.
They not?
That was something
I thought everybody had Xboxes now.
Oh, yeah. Everybody loves Xbox. And they love American-made video games.
I mean, God of War? Anyone? Are you getting God of War from Gamefly, Griffin?
Ugh, no. I just got Metal Gear Rising. I haven't opened it yet because I'm reviewing it. Oh, Luigi's Mansion. Dark Moon.
Oh, yeah. That's good. I'll do that. Is that coming out next week?
I can do Dark Moon. It comes out on the 24th, which will just be a couple days after Besties goes up.
Okay.
Do you guys want to hear? I should have talked about Lego City Undercover.
Oh man, I want to play that something fierce.
Can I tell you one thing about it?
Yeah.
Before we, and then we'll log off here, guys. It has it. It's fun if you want to play it with your kids. It's pretty fun, and I don't know. I thought it was kind of fun. The important thing, it has no bullshit minute long load times. I mean, I thought it was installing the first time.
Wow.
Like, it gives you a 30-second load time before the title screen, and then once you press start, it gives you a minute-long load time. And then anytime you go back into the open world, it is a full, like, I don't mean exaggerating. I mean, like, I had my stopwatch out, like, minute to a minute 15 seconds of loading.
But that makes sense, because essentially... they're building each level by hand.
There's a small man in there, and he's furious.
Tommy is in there building by sense of smell.
Oh, man. But that's good, because you can get in like a full round of Ridiculous Fishing in there.
Yep.
Silver Linings Playbook.
I don't know what we'll do next week, because next week will be packed. So
no.
Holy shit.
Shit, before PAX. Yeah. It's before PAX.
Yeah. No, it's before PAX. I mean, then we got the Jitika.
I will be on a plane at this
point. Yeah, I will be up in the air.
Well, we'll record before that.
All right.
Okay.
Yeah, but let's do Dark Moon because I'm going to have some shit to say about that.
And then we got the Jitika.
Yeah.
So, there you go.
Cool.
Thanks so much for joining us. Make sure you listen to us talk about those games. And join us again next Friday for the besties. Shouldn't the world's best friends play the world's best game?
I'm going to bed.
Besties!